Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip, and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast. Part of my mission in ensuring your pregnancy, birth, and motherhood journeys are supported, positive, and empowering. Are you ready? Let's get chatting. Being a new mum is tough as it is, but having a little one who is struggling on a daily basis with allergies, intolerances, and all the associated symptoms makes this challenge so much more intense. Today, I'm chatting with a wonderful new mummy, Roxy Winstanley, who is navigating life with her gorgeous little girl B, who has got multiple allergies, including that to dairy and soya, amongst many, many others. So welcome Roxy and B, who's come to join us, which is very exciting.
Hi, thank you for having us. And it should have just been me, but obviously nap time didn't go to plan this morning, so...
It never does. But guarantee tomorrow when you've got nothing to do, she'll sleep for like 2 hours. It's just the way they know.
Always the way.
I love it. Well, we'll see whether Finley joins as well. It might be a whole family affair. We'll see how we get on. But congratulations, because you were just saying B is coming up 4 months old now, which is exciting and terrifying in equal measures.
Yeah, it is. She'll be 4 months next Thursday. And like we were just saying, it really is scary how fast time goes as a new mum, and I'm like, oh, I'll go back to work in October, please slow down.
I know. And did you find that in pregnancy everyone was like, just enjoy them, they grow so fast, and you're like, yeah, and now you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. So quick. I look at pictures of like when she's like first born and she's like sat on my hand, and I'm like, I don't need like a sling to try and hold her up now, she's that heavy.
I know. Aww. So Roxy, I think it's probably fair to say that from the outside looking in, your pregnancy seemed fairly straightforward and you seemed to keep me healthy and active, and that seemed really, really quite smooth sailing, your pregnancy itself.
I was so lucky. I mean, first trimester, it's rough, and all I did was sleep and eat beige food and a bit that lasted all day. But like a hangover without the joys of alcohol the night before.
It's not fair, is it?
So yeah, I was so lucky. You know, I stayed active all the way through to 41 plus 5 when she decided to finally make an appearance. But no, I love pregnancy. I think that was because I was lucky. You know, you hear these poor women that have got to, whether they've suffering with morning sickness that lasts all the way through, or girdle pain kicks in. But no, she was a nice baby for mum to carry.
Do you know what though? I think sometimes you sell yourself short there, because definitely there's probably an element of luck and genetics that is just the cards we're dealt with. But also you really looked after yourself, and that plays a massive role. Like if you did get pregnant and then decide you were going to sit on the sofa for 9 months and eat McDonald's, you are much more likely to get pelvic girdle pain and, you know, not have such a healthy pregnancy. But you kept really active, you kept training, you were obviously in touch with your nutrition and what you were kind of doing to your body. So I think actually you need to take some credit for the pregnancy that you had as well.
Yeah, I was really active before I got pregnant, and it was key for me, not just for my mental health of staying active, but I wanted to stay as active as I could, obviously, for a healthy pregnancy. And I was speaking to my woman's health physio that did the mummy MOT for me. And she said, because of the amount of like glute training I was doing, that probably really helped with my pelvic girdle pain, because it just kept everything strong. My core was strong, glutes were strong. So, I mean, the size that my bump got to, it was probably a good thing that I had some strong glutes to balance me that way.
I love it. But yeah, amazing. And then birth came. And for you, Roxy, you had quite a significant hemorrhage, didn't you? So your kind of, I guess, birth and then start of motherhood was a massive period of recovery. Like, your body went through a huge, huge, huge ordeal, which must have been terrifying psychologically, but also took a lot of rehabilitation physically.
Yeah, it was, I think, I'd had such like a nice pregnancy. I'd enjoyed it. Obviously, I got to 41 plus five, and I remember messaging you. I was like, how can I get this baby out?
I'm ready.
But yeah, my waters broke at 41 plus five, but that's when they detected preeclampsia. And the whole pregnancy, I'd been absolutely fine. It was just when I went in to get my waters checked, they were like, right, you're now a high-risk pregnancy. You're staying in. We need to induce you. And so I didn't get the labour that, you know, I'd wanted, but I made it the best I could. You know, I wanted the water birth and I didn't want monitoring. But obviously with the situation, it was then continuous monitoring in a bed. But I just made sure I was active throughout. You know, not once did I get on that bed.
That's amazing.
I think at one point I was on all fours. But yeah, never got on the bed, just carried on walking around. But then, yeah, it was... I'd do labour again tomorrow. I absolutely loved it. I've never felt more powerful as a woman as what happened. And then 36 hours later, she made her appearance, and I thought, you know, everything was fine. And then I could see the midwife's face change and the red button got pushed. And yeah, I think because the labour had been that long, my uterus just wouldn't contract afterwards. And at that point, the placenta it came away in bits. So I was rushed off to theatre while Daddy did, you know, the golden hour at first, which I got once I'd woken back up from theatre. And luckily I'd harvested colostrum. So he could give her that while I was in. And then, yeah, I lost 4.5 litres mm-hmm. of blood and 4 blood transfusions later, and a bit of a long 4-hour operation. But yeah, it was, I don't think as a through pregnancy, you can prepare yourself for what happened. And I think mentally when I woke up, I was, you know, you're dazed, you don't know what's gone on. And I think the biggest shock for me, like you said, was the physical. Like, my blood pressure was just all over the place. I'd stand up and get dizzy. We were in the hospital for a full week just while I tried to recover. And I think that's been one of the hardest things of trying to get my body back to where, you know, postpartum's hard anyway. Plus you've had 4 blood transfusions and the doctor's saying, like, you need to rest. I'm like, I've just got a newborn baby. How am I meant to rest after an operation?
But... Oh my gosh, the irony, isn't it, of like trying to rest post-motherhood. And I think that's such a good point, Roxy, because, you know, we know that we hemodilate in pregnancy to protect us against a degree of blood loss, but we do not hemodilate to the state where we're going to protect ourselves against 4.5 litres of blood loss. Like, that is really significant. And thank goodness that actually you did birth in hospital, because, you know, if you'd birthed at home, that transfer time, you know, it could have been a really different outcome for you. So you were there in the right place for people to kind of support you, which was really important. But I know that for you, Roxy, having followed you through your pregnancy, you're very much like you certainly seem, correct me if I'm wrong, very much a, like, getting on with it, kind of wanting to get back to movement in whatever way that felt right, really wanting to nourish your body and look after yourself, which is fantastic. But you can't really get back to movement perhaps in the way you'd want to when you have just lost 4.5 litres of blood. And then you had the issue, I suppose, with not being able to nourish yourself in the way you might want to because of all these allergies that you're navigating with me. Can I take you back to when you kind of perhaps started to notice that something was perhaps wrong with me? Because you've been breastfeeding, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been breastfeeding since day one, really. So I was quite lucky that, you know, I wanted to breastfeed, didn't put any pressure on myself. So, you know, if I can, I can. But she latched well and, you know, everything seemed to be going well. I mean, them first 2 weeks, I think I was a zombie, and she was literally feeding every 1 hour. God, it was tough. But it got to about 10 days. We actually went for a newborn photo shoot and she was just so unsettled. And it was like liquid, like diarrhea. Whenever we took a nappy off, you know, for the cute naked photos. And it was actually the photographer that said, oh, you know, we had a baby in a month ago, 2 months ago. And she was like this. And the mum realised that she had cow's milk allergy. So I was like, I did have fajitas last night for tea. Was it too spicy or is it this milk allergy? And then I think even as a new mum, you know, I was a first time mum, you know, your baby, I know babies cry, but this was just
a different, you know, when they're crying because they're a bit bored, they just want a cuddle when there's actually a problem, don't you?
Yeah. And, you know, everyone said, oh, it's just witching hour. You know, it starts at 5 o'clock. It'll go on till 11. And I was like, it's not that there's something really wrong with her. And, you know, you start, you know, Google, you know, everyone gets
blocked. Google.
And Google how many nappy or baby have, you know, how many times they, and, you know, she was weeing fine, but literally every time I was changing her, you know, she pooed and it wasn't a normal, you know, what is, you know, how many Google pictures have I looked at of what is a normal baby poo? You know, it was watery, it was mucousy, and there was bits of blood in it. And literally every nappy we were changing, I was like, we're going through 12 nappies and a day. And then she started with a little bit of a, like a rash that came up like around her jawline. So then that was a trip to A&E. You start panicking as soon as you...
I was going to say, I bet you were terrified at that point, were you?
Absolutely terrified. Because then you're trying to get like a glass to roll it because of where it was. I was like, right, straight to A&E, let's just go and check. And I asked the paediatrician there, like, is this a cow's milk allergy? And I know, and I'm not going to knock doctors because they are amazing, but a lot of doctors seem to say, you know, breastfeeding babies can't get allergies. It's just a baby rash, baby acne, you know, and nappies, things like that. So that was what we thought. And that was, I think she was about 2 weeks old at that point. And then I think it must have been about 3-4 days later, I'd gone to my GP and I was like, she looks dehydrated. You know, and they ask how many times a day you feed. And I think at that point, it's like 12, 13.
Yeah. I've lost count.
But I said, it's the nappies, like she's going like so much, it's literally just like water. And they were like, no, she'll be fine. Just make sure you're feeding her. And that was the night we ended up in hospital with dehydration with her.
Oh gosh.
And it was speaking to the paediatrician. And at the time, my health visitor that had come out to see me them 6 weeks, she was brilliant. And she was like, right, something's not right with her. So she pushed for a dietitian appointment, a lactation specialist appointment, just to make sure, you know, was it fast let down? Was it too much full milk? Not enough hind milk? Is that the cause of it? But then once I'd seen the dietitian and the lactation specialist, that was it. They were just so helpful. And we identified at first the cow's milk allergy.
Yeah.
Left it for about a week. She was still, and they say, you know, it can take 4 to 6, 8 weeks for all the dairy to come out of your system. But she was just not getting any better. So that's when we cut soya. And then she started to really pick up. And I was like, God, is this what my baby's meant to be like? She was happier, getting better, but her skin was still really bad. Like she'd get such bad rashes that it looked like it was burning her skin.
Bless her.
And then the next day it would all like peel and flake off. So she was constantly rubbing her face, and at night you could hear her on her crib.
Yeah. We talking about you, little bee.
But that was when we got our egg. So it was dairy, soya and egg. And after about 2-3 weeks of her being like that, you know, everything seemed like it was fine. She was a lot better. But again, this is the hard thing with allergies. She is allergic to other things, but we haven't managed to pinpoint exactly what it is. The dietitian had been brilliant and she was really keen on me not to cut. I mean, a lot of people cut the top 14 allergens out of their diet, which, you know, includes like nuts, beef, lupin. There's so many things. Yeah. So we then cut wheat, gluten, tomato. I looked at tomatoes, avocado, coconut. And I was like, this is just, it was getting, and I spent, I think that then 10 weeks, which I'm watching now 16 weeks. So it must have been about 10 to 12 weeks when we thought we were getting there. I just cried all the time because I was, you blame yourself, I think, especially when you're breastfeeding them. And I'll try not to get upset now, but like every time I was feeding it, I was like, it's my milk that's causing this, and I'm trying to cut everything out.
And you're trying to do the best thing right by breastfeeding because you know there's so many benefits and you're in this horrible catch 22. Like, I want to give you all the, you know, those antibodies and that powerful goodness, but I don't want to give you something that's going to upset you. And I, you must have like second guessed every single thing that passed your lips.
It got to a point like the weekly shot was then taking like 2 to 3 hours because everything we were putting in, I had to, you're tired. Yeah. Good night.
Oh, bless her. It's fine.
The back of every food label I had to check. And then there was, I joined like a Facebook group, and occasionally they'd put up things saying, you know, Bourneville biscuits have now changed their ingredients. So it's like, I could eat Bourneville chocolate. So shopping took forever. And then trying to go out for like a nice meal, it was, you know, and there's so many restaurants that are, they have their allergen menus and they cater especially to you, but the day after she'd be upset and I was like, was it cross-contamination? Was there something in the food that they didn't know? And it was just...
So then you can't even enjoy that experience because you're constantly right, oh my gosh, Roxy. And really hard for you because you were, I'm sure, when you were thinking about your postnatal recovery, I know there was the exercise element that you were really keen on, but I'm sure there was probably a nutrition element that you were also really keen on, you know, making sure you were getting that protein to recover. So then when you can't eat like dairy and eggs that are very handy go-to quick mum sources of protein, you're like, what do I do? What, you know, I can't eat, you know, eating nuts, you know, it's where do you even go? How have you managed to eat anything, I suppose? Because I'm thinking, what can you eat? We're just taking a mini pause so that I can talk to you about baby poo. On average, parents will change almost 2,000 nappies a year. And the contents of your baby's nappies can give you a lot of information about their health and well-being. Baby poo can come in a whole range of colours, textures and smells. For reassurance, sign up to apticlub.co.uk to take a look at their handy baby poop chart.
It's a lot of like meat and veg, which is, yes, it's healthy, but like you said, that's what I remember my partner going, I don't understand why you're not eating enough protein. And I was like, because I can't go and cook chicken or a steak or something while I've got a baby clinging onto me feeding.
And I guess you probably can't buy like pre-cooked chicken because often that's contaminated with a bit of wheat or something, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what was hard. And I was like, well, I'll just buy pre-packed chicken. And then if you wanted like Cajun chicken, there was milk in it, or if there was wheat in pre-packed chicken. So, I mean, I've been quite, I wouldn't say lucky, but a lot of the time when I was working, I did a lot of like meal prep. I always tried to eat a healthy diet. So it was just used to eating like cooked chicken and vegetables, like on the side of a road outside a farm. That's pretty much what I've had to do. But it's things like, you know, you go to new mum clubs and everyone goes for cups of teas and biscuits, or friends are like, go for a cup of tea and a cake or a nice meal. And I'm like, I can't run that risk of anything passing through my milk and obviously into her. So
I mean, Roxy, it's amazing that you have been so dedicated to breastfeeding, and I hope as Bea grows up you let her know what you have sacrificed to keep giving her the goodness of your breast milk, because that is like absolutely incredible. So absolute hat off to you. I'm not sure I would have had the strength or resilience to keep going like you have, so absolutely incredible. I just wonder, has it ever crossed your mind to stop breastfeeding?
Yes. Multiple times. I just, when we first found out about the allergies, I remember saying, well, I'll just put her on special formula then, it's going to be easier. And then it was people
easier
saying,
easier to control, I suppose, in a way. That's what I'm thinking, because you know exactly what's gone in it, whereas you eat different stuff, or maybe not anymore, but you were eating different stuff every day.
So I debated it then, but then because I loved breastfeeding, and I didn't think I was going to be one of them women, because I'm normally, so I need to know what she's, you know, what I'm eating. And I thought, you know, at least with formula, I could know, right, she's had 6 ounces. And with breastfeeding, you have no idea. You just hope that, you know, all it is, are they having wet nappies? Are they gaining weight? And she was doing all of them. You're tired, aren't you?
Oh, bless her.
And then obviously the best thing for repairing her gut that had been damaged by the cow's milk allergy was the antibodies in my breast milk. So I was like, no, we'll get her through it. We'll keep going. And then if anyone follows me on Instagram, I did attempt to move her onto formula. I think it was last month, because my mental health was on the floor. I was just crying all the time. It was causing arguments with Scott, because he was like, just stop. And I was like, I don't want
it. It's not that easy, is it? It's so hard.
So the doctor was, my GP was brilliant and had prescribed like a really hypoallergenic amino acid formula. So we finally got her taking a bottle. I remember again, I messaged you and I was like, won't take a bottle. What can I do?
I know. Which was another stress, right? Because I felt the stress of when Finley wasn't taking a bottle and I could easily just breastfeed him. You know, I didn't have all this going on. So you had that, like, my get out, if we can call it that, is to give her this specialist formula. But if she doesn't take a bottle, that isn't even an option anymore.
Yeah, that's why they prescribed this formula and then I'd put her in the bottle and she'd literally just look at me like, Mum, what's this?
Yeah.
It's nice. And then at that point, I think we'd got down to like 2 bottles a day, just so if I wanted to go to the gym or, you know, I wanted to get my hair done, my mum could have her and I wasn't under time constraint of, right, 2 hours, I need to go back and feed her. But then it was the emotional side of thinking, I'm not ready to stop breastfeeding yet. Like, I absolutely, I love breastfeeding. So that was it. So we put her back onto breast milk full time. And then we went out for a meal on a Saturday afternoon, I think it was. And then the next day she was horrendous again. And although I specified allergens like that I needed, she just reacted. And that's when I spoke to my dietitian and I was like, what am I going to do at weaning? Because that's the big one that's coming in 3 months. And I was like, if I'm still breastfeeding her full time, is she reacting to my milk? Is she reacting to the food I've given her? I was like, I think that's going to be the biggest minefield. So my plan is over the next couple of months to try and wean her onto formula, just for, and I know a lot of people don't, or, you know, they'll say just carry on breastfeeding, but because there's still things that she's reacting to that we haven't managed to pinpoint.
It's not just one thing, is it? That's the thing. You've got this whole spectrum and you've got like 3 major allergens that you know, but potentially loads of other ones that you don't know yet.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, what if I give her, you know, a banana and she reacts, but has it been something I've eaten in my breast milk, or is she allergic to banana? And it's just,
you're never going to be able to pinpoint the things, are you, if you've got two sources? And
so we're on again 2 bottles of formula today.
Okay.
And like you said, it's so hard, like the logistics that goes into making bottles. And I get to a point where I'm like, oh, do you know, it's easy, I'll just whip my boob out like in the service station, I don't have to worry. And I'm trying to be quite, no, don't put your boob out, you know, give her the bottle, she's taking it well now. And but then you've got the issue of, right, I need to pump because my boobs are that full.
Oh my god. And that takes more time, because then you've got to, oh my gosh, Roxy.
I've got bottles,
super mum, honestly,
to sterilize. But yeah,
you, I mean, your juggle is just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, you are properly juggling. I feel like you've absolutely done the most incredible job for B, but as a result, it's been the hardest thing for you. Like, you've definitely not made it easy for yourself because you wanted to do the best for her, which is, you know, kudos to being an incredible mum. Like, you've done an awesome job, and I'm sure there's days where you feel like you're not, but you definitely are. You need to give yourself a big pat on the back, because, oh my gosh, it just must be, I don't know how you're doing it. It must be so, so tough. Do you think people take allergies seriously enough? Because I'm just thinking, when you go to restaurants and you're like, I can't have blah, blah, blah. Do you feel like people really take it seriously enough and understand the actual impact of you eating one of those allergens?
It's a tough one. Like, there has been a few restaurants that are brilliant and they'll clean the grill down and they'll cook my food separately. Others, I think when they can see, I remember saying to one, oh, I haven't got the allergens, but my baby's got the allergies. Then it was, oh, what do you, wait, that's not a thing, you know, they didn't take it serious then. So now I just say it's me that have got the allergies. But I'll admit, though, before I've had to deal with these allergies, that it's something I didn't think about. When you set off on your breastfeeding journey, you don't even think, oh, my baby's going to be allergic to something that I'm eating. But there's so many mums out there that are dealing with babies with allergies, and you know, there's multiple Facebook groups, and I was like, wow, like I'm not alone. There are other mums, and it is a normal thing that, you know, quite a few babies do seem to struggle with in that first like couple of years. But you know, you do get comments from other mums that are like, oh, you know, well, back when I had my eldest, you know, none of these babies had allergies, so I don't know why all babies have allergies now. And that probably upsets me more. You know, you just think, no, she has got an allergy. You went up with her, like she's screaming and covered in rashes and nappies. And
my gosh, I mean, you wouldn't choose this, would you? You're not going to make it up. You've not made, you know, it's just really tough, really tough. And that's why, you know, we wanted to have this chat today, isn't it? To raise awareness and for other women that might go through what you and Bea have been through, is to realise actually there is loads of other mums and babies trying to navigate this. So please don't sit at home, you know, struggling on your own, because just knowing someone else is going through the same struggle is such great support, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, though, even this week at a baby class, you know, some mum mentioned it because their little baby had a rash. And I was like, oh, she's an allergy baby too. You know, there's, yeah, you know, you can talk and you can get advice from other people and see what they've done or how they're finding it. And although it's been a struggle with my diet and it's been a massive overhaul, there's so many choices out there now that, you know, dairy-free, egg-free, a lot of vegan foods, it's fine to eat. The hardest one for me has been soya, because it is in everything. Like, all I want is like a piece of toast, and I can't because there's soya in bread, you know, in so many foods that you didn't think that it'd be in. And like a lot of vegan ice cream, it's like, no, it contains soya. I'm like, oh god.
Oh gosh, yeah, like you've probably done more reading in this last 4 months than you've ever done in your life, just by reading packets of food and analysing it all. Oh, Roxy, you are incredible. And you are definitely, I think, an inspiration to mums out there that are struggling, because you have kept rallying through and sharing it on social media, which is really powerful. So thank you for using your platform to support other people as well, because I know that will have helped so, so many other mums. I wonder if you could give us 3 top tips to other mums that are experiencing navigating life with a baby with allergies.
Number one, trust your instinct. I think I went to 3 different GPs that dismissed that breastfed babies can't get allergies. You know, the amount of protein that passed through your breast milk isn't enough to cause a reaction. And it was only because I kept going back with, you know, printing off research from the internet and going in being like, no, there is something wrong with my baby. I'm not just an overprotective first-time mum that worries over everything. I was like, mum's instinct is, you know, everyone says it. And until you are a mum, you know, mum's instinct is probably the best thing, and it's me pushing constantly. So if you think there's something wrong with you, but like we said before, there's babies crying because they're hungry or they need a nappy changing or they just want to cuddle, or her favourite one when she's overtired but won't nap.
Yeah, you know, that overtired cry is a bit relentless, but it's different to pain or discomfort, isn't it?
So I think that would be number one, is obviously trust you. If you think there's something wrong, then keep pushing. 2 is reach out to other people. You know, there are Facebook groups. There is a cow's milk protein allergy breastfeeding group on Facebook, and that has been a lifesaver for me. You know, people post recipe ideas or new foods that they found, and just, you know, does this nappy look normal? Is that mucus in the nappy? It's just really helpful that there's a community of women. So I'd definitely say, like, reach out, try and, you know, find other allergy mums.
What was the Facebook group called, Roxy? Sorry, just for anyone listening. Remember?
It's DMPA Breastfeeding. Okay, so put that in onto the search bar. So one of my friends recommended that, and that's been a lifesaver. And then 3 is, which I keep telling myself, it isn't forever. Like, my breastfeeding journey, it's not going to be for her entire life. And I'm just, you know, whether it's 6 months, whether it's 8 months that I do breastfeeding, it's a short time in my life that I can't go and have a pizza or some ice cream. But yeah, I will be reminding her when she's older, or when we're arguing, when she's hit her teenage years, and I'm accused of not loving her or being a bad mum. Like, yeah. I didn't eat for 6 months because of you.
Oh, what is going to be that food that you have when you are free from worrying about allergens? What is going to be that meal that you go for? I bet you've been salivating. Pizza.
All through pregnancy, it's all I wanted, but I don't know. I had like a bit of an aversion, and I don't know why, because all I was eating was cheese and milk while I was pregnant. But for some reason, I couldn't stomach pizza. And that's usually my favourite food. So I was like, right, I want pizza. And I didn't even get a chance once I'd had her. And I was like, oh, it's literally been like...
Just want a pizza. Oh, yeah. That pizza is coming, Roxy. It's coming. Oh, and B has been an absolute gem. Bless her. Snuggled into her mummy. Very tired. Thank you so much for joining us. You are both doing an amazing job together. And I wish you all the best, Roxy, moving forward. I will obviously keep following your story on Instagram. And I hope that you have a smoother rest of your journey as you start to navigate weaning as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, once she latched well in hospital and you were feeding and she's gained weight, I mean, obviously not as much as Finley, because I just love how many rolls Finley's got.
I don't know why this child's so big, honestly. He's huge, he's absolutely massive.
He's gorgeous. But yeah, she was, you know, gaining weight, and I was like, oh wow, like my boobs, go boobs. And then this happened and I was like, I feel robbed of your journey. But hopefully it starts to get a little bit easier and we can still carry on feeding her. So
you are super mum. You are super mum, Roxy. Honestly, the biggest well done. You're doing an amazing job. And B is gorgeous. She is super scrummy.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'd be hugely grateful if you could take a moment to leave a quick review. It honestly means the world to me to hear from you as a listener. And of course, to ensure you don't miss upcoming episodes, hit subscribe too. Remember, I'm here to support you through pregnancy, birth, and beyond, through my range of pregnancy, birth prep, and postpartum courses at midwifepip.com. I hope to get to know you better and to help you on your empowering journey soon.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.